maintainer wakes up to a pull request from a security agent. The agent has found the vulnerable dependency, written the patch, run the test suite, and left a short note about the proof. So who reviews it? Who signs the release? And if the patch is wrong, is that a model error, a product error, or a governance error?
And before anyone gets poetic about it, the maintainer also has to ask whether that pull request touched the right branch, whether the tests cover the exploit path, and whether the agent changed behavior in a place the advisory never mentioned. Nobody gets to skip that work.
Monday, June 22, gives us the action version of that problem. OpenAI announced GPT-5.5 Cyber, a Codex security plugin, and a Patch the Planet push around open-source vulnerabilities. SpaceX is reported to be leasing Colossus Compute to Reflection AI. Oracle filed an annual report that ties some workforce reduction to AI adoption. The White House moved on quantum computing, and the open agent stack kept forming around GLM and Fugu. The question is direct. When AI systems move from analysis into action, which parts of the system become accountable?
That phrasing already makes me itch, but in a productive way. Analysis can live in a report. Action needs permissions, logs, rollback, owners, and release machinery. The machinery is dry, yes, it is also the point.
OpenAI's own post is the lead source here. It says the company is introducing Codex Security and GPT-5.5 Cyber, and the agenda around it is Daybreak and Patch the Planet, find, validate, and fix vulnerable software. Sam Altman's post adds the benchmark claim, GPT-5.5, Cyber is described as state-of-the-art on CyberGym. Greg Brockman's post focuses on the plugin, meaning this isn't only a model announcement. It is a workflow announcement.
That distinction matters because security teams already have scanners. Static analysis, dependency alerts, fuzzers, and bug bounty reports already feed exhausted humans who have to triage all of it. A specialized model is interesting if it reduces false positives, reproduces the bug, writes a minimal patch, and gives the reviewer enough evidence to trust the change. If it only adds a more fluent ticket, that isn't progress.
The Latent Space episode in the source list is the engineering check. It is about agentic security and indirect prompt injection, and the source summary says dedicated models outperform human red teams in a key finding. I am treating that as background, not as proof that this OpenAI product works in the field. It does show why the timing makes sense. Security work is becoming a place where agents can be both the tool and the attack surface.
Right, if the agent reads an issue, browses a repo, opens a dependency tree, and submits a patch, it is exposed to adversarial text the whole way. README files, issue comments, test fixtures, package metadata, and even exploit proofs can carry instructions. An operator has to ask two things. Can the model fix the bug, and can the runner keep the model inside the job while the job is full of hostile context?
And the benchmark language has to stay contained. CyberGym can tell us something about capability under a constructed test. It cannot answer the product question. Should the plugin be allowed to open a pull request across a critical dependency graph during a release freeze? That decision belongs to policy, review, and release process.
Tusk, the patch generator needs a deployment window. It needs rules about repo scope and dependency pinning. It needs reviewer assignment, and it needs evidence that travels with the change. If the product stops at patch text, it will disappoint people. If it owns the proof trail, it might change how maintainers spend their week.
CNBC reports that SpaceX signed a compute deal with Reflection AI for access to NVIDIA GB300s at the Colossus cluster through 2029, with a reported value up to $6.3 billion and a $150 million per month structure. TechCrunch covers the same deal as SpaceX turning an internal AI cluster into capacity for an open-source AI lab. I am saying reported because CNBC and TechCrunch give us media reports, not a SpaceX contract.
The operator read is simple. If those terms hold, Reflection is buying a runway, not a server. Multi-year GB300 access changes what a lab can promise researchers, partners, and users. It also changes who can compete. You need model taste, yes, but you also need a compute calendar that doesn't collapse when the cluster owner has a higher priority customer.
This continues what Braid covered on Friday about compute needing permission, but the fresh part today is SpaceX as a seller. Colossus isn't being described only as infrastructure for one corporate family. It is being described as a platform others can rent. James Chanos's counterpoint belongs here too. He is looking at hyperscalers, neoclouds, miners, and capacity constraints as a financial market, not as a builder romance.
And a builder should listen to that market read even if they don't share the tone. The same GPU can train a model, support a lease contract, or sit on a lender's spreadsheet as collateral. It can also become the queue slot everyone fights over when inference revenue misses. When a physical systems company starts selling AI compute, a model lab has to ask whether it is renting capacity or renting someone else's priority system.
Reflection is also described as an open-source AI lab, which gives this a different charge. Open models often get discussed as if the only missing ingredient is weights. The SpaceX story says access to high-end training and serving capacity is still a gate. Open distribution doesn't erase the cost of building the thing in the first place.
Exactly. A permissive license helps the downstream developer. It doesn't pay for GB300 time. It doesn't solve queuing. It doesn't keep the cluster online. If open agent capability is going to keep up, somebody is still signing very large checks or giving the lab privileged access to a machine room.
Oracle's 10K is the labor segment because it is a filing, not a panel quote. The SEC item says Oracle reported a global workforce reduction of 21,000 employees over 12 months and said AI adoption contributed to the cuts. TechMeme elevated that same detail today, and Forbes has a companion enterprise cost piece about AI bills and chief executive accountability.
Keep the causality narrow here. The filing language as summarized here doesn't say AI alone removed 21,000 jobs. It says AI adoption contributed. That is still a serious statement because annual reports are where companies describe business risk and operating reality with lawyers in the room.
Yes, and the timing pairs with the Forbes item on exploding AI bills. Enterprises are no longer talking about AI cost as one budget line. They are talking about spend discipline and headcount discipline at the same time. That can become cruel quickly if the company can't name which work disappeared, which work moved to a tool, and which work simply moved to the remaining employees.
There is a systems test for that. If the company says AI reduced headcount, show the process map. Which queue got shorter, which customer response got faster, which reconciliation task stopped needing manual review. If those answers are missing, AI becomes a label for ordinary cuts. If the answers are present, then the company has to explain the new breakage, who catches the bad automation run and how quickly.
I don't want the operator story to flatten the human piece. A headcount number in a filing is also thousands of people reorganizing their lives. The responsible version is colder. AI adoption is entering the employment record, and the record should be specific enough that workers, investors, and customers can tell whether productivity improved or work was displaced without measurement.
And the next enterprise buyer should take that personally. If your board wants AI savings, define the savings before the rollout. Start with cost per task and review time. Add error rate, customer wait time, and escalation rate. Otherwise, every department learns to tell the same story after the fact, and nobody knows whether the tool helped.
TechMeme's policy item says President Trump signed two executive orders aimed at accelerating advanced quantum computing and addressing related security threats. The Reddit item describes it as a national effort to build a quantum computer capable of important scientific calculations. That is the claim the sources support.
Good, this sits next to AI. It isn't secretly the same story. Quantum computing touches cryptography, simulation materials, and national compute strategy. It also tempts everyone to make five-year claims from a two-sentence policy item. I would keep it short unless the orders spell out funding, agency authority, or deadlines.
The reason it belongs in this episode at all is that compute policy is broadening. On the same day, we have commercial GPU leases, security models pointed at software supply chains, and quantum orders pointed at future security threats. Different technologies, same pressure. Governments and companies are trying to decide which compute systems deserve national treatment before the systems are mature enough to be ordinary procurement.
An operator can use that boundary. Policy will not tell you what to build this afternoon, but it can tell you where standards and procurement rules may arrive next. If post-quantum security requirements start moving from guidance into contracts, a lot of software teams will discover that their dependency inventory isn't as good as they hoped.
Alphabet shares sold off after another senior Google DeepMind departure, with John Jumper still anchoring the market narrative. We covered Jumper's move on Friday as a research method and talent story. Today, I only want the update. Public markets are now reading repeated AI leadership departures as a confidence test for Alphabet.
That is the correct size for it. We don't need to retell AlphaFold or Anthropic. The new information is market interpretation. Investors may be overreading it, they often do, but they are reacting to a question companies hate. Are the people with the rare taste staying where the capital already is, or are they taking that taste somewhere else?
Machine learning street talk is background here on domain-specific AI and AlphaFold. I would use it only for the reminder that not all AI advantage comes from general chat models. DeepMind's reputation was built partly on scientific systems where method, data, and evaluation were tightly joined. Losing senior people from that lineage isn't the same as losing a generic executive.
And because it isn't generic, the replacement question is harder. You can hire managers, you can buy compute, you can increase compensation. Replacing taste in a scientific modeling program takes time because taste is embodied in what gets tried, what gets killed, and which evals the team believes before the rest of the world does.
The open agent note stays small because GLM5.2 was already treated deeply last week. Today's fresh items are reaction and stack formation. Aravind Srinivas says GLM is passing blind tests and is affordable to serve. Nathan Lambert points to agentic capability in open models, and TechMeme flags Sakana's Fugu as a multi-agent orchestration system.
That is a builder close then. Another leaderboard claim would not add much here. The useful development is that people are starting to pair credible open models with orchestration systems. Fugu and GLM sit next to coding agents and security plugins here. The labels differ, but the operational demand rhymes. You need to coordinate work, preserve state, assign authority, and measure whether the agent completed the job instead of only producing a plausible artifact.
That brings us back to the OpenAI lead without forcing the connection. Patch generation, compute leasing, AI-linked labor reductions, quantum orders, DeepMind departures, and open agent tools all point at the same practical boundary. Capability is only the first claim. The second claim is whether the institution around the capability can absorb it.
The institution part is where software people can still act, write the acceptance tests, keep the audit log, name the reviewer, know which cluster you are depending on, define the savings before cutting the team. When the agent says it fixed the bug, make it bring the evidence with the patch.
That is the place to stop. Monday's sources don't say the agent future arrived fully formed. They say the products, contracts, filings, and orders are starting to treat agent work as something that changes budgets and permissions. The next proof will be less glamorous than the announcement. A patch accepted, a lease honored, a cost claim measured, and a policy order translated into a rule someone can follow.